What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. I have my sister, Miss Tevis, in the building with me on tonight. How you doing, sis?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. We have two great panelists on the building with us on tonight. Y'all will get to know them very shortly, but y'all know how we start off Real Talk Monday. It's not Real Talk Monday unless we start it off with a little bit of the theme song. So as the theme song is playing, I want you to like, share, tag, tell somebody, tell everybody that Real Talk Monday is on. Let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up, y'all? It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Right. At this time, we're going to ask my co-host and my sister, Miss Tevis, to lead us in prayer on tonight.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to wake up to see this day. Father God, I thank you for allowing us to make it safely to and from our jobs or if we were home. Thank you for keeping us safe. Father God, I would like to send a special prayer out to the families and the children that were harmed today in the school shooting here in Nashville. Dear Lord, I ask that you will put a covering and a protection over their families, the school, their friends, their loved ones, Father God. Dear Lord, I ask that you will continue to move us in the way that you would like us to move. I would like to ask that you will lead this conversation tonight, allow us to speak our truth in love and in fun and also just being real like we usually are. Dear Lord, I ask that you will bless everyone that's present today, whether it's the four of us or those that are interacting with us from hopefully all over the world. Just lead us and guide us, dear Lord, and please just allow our actions and our words minister grace and love to everyone. And in Jesus' name we pray, always and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. This time we'll turn it over to our sister Tevis so that she can kick us off tonight.
Okay, so today we are going, or tonight we're going to talk about what you would do or what you do if your child says, I did not ask to be here. So what would you say? How do you respond? If it has happened to you, what was your response? And then, you know, if you ever said it to your parents. So that is going to be the topic. We have two people on here that don't have children, and we have two people on here that have children. So this is going to be very interesting to see, like, the different perspectives, right, of how when you've done it yourself or heard it yourself versus not, and you're hearing those around you say it. So that's going to be our topic. So yeah, I guess we can get started. So the first question is, what do children mean? What do you think the child means when they say that? What do you think the child means when they say that? And we can popcorn it. Anybody can go whenever you want.
Okay, I'll go. honestly, I think it comes from a place of not being heard. I think it's equivalent to a child saying, I hate you. And you know, children don't really mean that when they say it. It's almost like they're in a place where you're not listening. You're not giving me what I need or what I want. It could come from a place of entitlement. It could come from a place of selfishness. But it also can come from a place of hurt and just trying to get the parents' attention. Sorry, put my hair in my face. To get the parents' attention to say, well, I didn't ask to be here. So it feels like something is lacking in that moment where they're trying to get the parents' attention to say, hello, I need you, but you're not providing what I think I should get from a parent. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask to be here. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel. I don't know about anybody else.
I guess for me, I feel like they're saying exactly what they feel in that moment, right? Whether it's real, whether it's the intent to hurt your feelings, whether it's them not being heard. Typically to me, when a child says that, you know, I was talking to Ava and I knew that she probably had said it or something like it because she's spoiled. So I said, have you ever said that to me? She was like, yeah. And I was like, and what did I say? And she was like, you agree with me. And I said, well, yeah, because you didn't ask to be here. You know what I'm saying? You didn't, you know? So I just think it means just that, you know, again, some kids may be playing on their parents a little soft side. And like Crystal said, I agree that, you know, they're not being heard. I don't know that I would go as far as equating it to hate, because to me, hate is just such a deep word. But I definitely understand, like, the reason that you would make that connection, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it.
I agree with you both. I think some of it is, it's kind of like in relationships or marriage or boyfriend, whatever, you push somebody's buttons, I think. Mm-hmm. I really do feel like we have different generations now. So I just personally would have never said that to my parents. You know what I mean? You know, and I think, honestly, we've given our kids, some of them, at least our age group, I guess, the kids so much more freedom because we didn't have any. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how they're responding. You know, they feel like they can say anything to anybody at any time, to be honest with you. I'm more of the mean parent in my house, so I better not ever hear it come out. And honestly, I don't think I've ever heard it from the boys. I don't know. I have three boys, so they probably have said that to their dad because they probably feel like they can. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they still know who you can say things to and who you can't be parent and things like that, or grandparent even, or whoever they feel like is leaning. But I think it's almost more to push a button, in my opinion. You know, I don't think that, I don't know, maybe that children just don't intentionally mean to hurt somebody, at least your parent or someone close to you who's raising you, whatever, a guardian. I don't think they intentionally mean to hurt your feelings on purpose. You know what I'm, or you know what I'm saying? Or think that far into it, like you said about hate, you know, kind of equating it to that. I don't even know that they even think that far. You know what I'm saying? So that's just kind of my take on on that. But
James,
For me, I feel like kind of like what you all said, as far as I agree with what you all said. However, I also believe that it can come from a point of the child is not getting something that they need at that moment from that parent. So they're feeling like, wait, I'm needing this from you. And when I'm telling you that I need this, you're brushing it off as if my feelings don't matter. So I have to let you know, like, look, I didn't ask to be here, but since I'm here, I need this from you at this moment.
Right.
So I believe sometimes that's where the kid is coming from, the child is coming from.
Yeah. I think, of course, every situation is different and every child and parent and everything is different. You know, I can only speak from my child's perspective. And she did share that it was because I wasn't listening to her. And so we've especially since she's became teenagers, we've had to create healthy boundaries around that. One thing that I've always promoted is that she has a voice and I want her to be able to, you know, share her voice with everybody, respectfully, of course, you know. So I do give her a chance to share, but that doesn't always mean that I'm going to agree with you. You know what I'm saying? So, Okay. As a parent or not parent, what do you guys think a parent should do in this situation when that happens?
Um, I think to really listen to what they're saying, first of all. Don't take it as a personal attack, even though, because the first thing I was thinking, because I was going to ask Tevis and Maria, as a parent, I was never taught how to communicate with my parents. Mm-hmm. I was more taught to fear them. Mm-hmm. And communicating sometimes, I get so afraid, my anxiety just like to tell them anything. And it may not even concern them or I'm asking for anything. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe I need to communicate something that I feel maybe I need direction for or mm-hmm. something like that. But for me, I don't know how to start a conversation with my parents mm-hmm. without it being some kind of segue. Like I'll mm-hmm. we'll be watching the news and something that I've been wanting to talk to them might come on. And then that's how I segued in. So it mm-hmm. doesn't seem like I'm coming directly at them mm-hmm. or something like that. So I guess for me, it's just to hear what the child is actually saying. But mm-hmm. also in my situation, I'm asking two parents, how as a child still, do I communicate with my parents in a way to where I don't have to use those triggers to get mm-hmm. their attention? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So mm-hmm. that's my question to you guys.
Yeah. So of course, Maria and I grew up together. And where my mom is loud and fussy, her mom did not play. We absolutely knew that. We knew when we went on vacation, we knew when we stayed at each other's house, you know, we knew that, right? Mm-hmm. But because, you know, for me, when we grow up and we see different parenting styles, things that our parents did, things that they didn't do, lack thereof, whatever, I feel like we all turned out great, right? Mm-hmm. But still, there are certain things that you want to be intentional not to carry over, right?
Right.
That strong disciplinary. So let me say this first. Our parents, I trust and believe, did the best they could with what they had, right? Yeah. Because of how they grew up, because of how we grew up, right? What I liked about Maria's mom is that she could like look and they already knew they better get going. I wanted that for Ava. Like I wanted to be that mom that's the, like when I look at you, then you know you need to go do something, right? My mom fuss. She fuss, like, and it drives me crazy, right? And I always said that I wasn't going to be the fusser, right? But I do. And I don't as much as I used to because, you know, when you know better, you do better, you know? So with Ava, especially as a teenager, what I think so many parents feel, and I can't even say my parents was like this. To me, I don't ever feel like my parents tried to control us. Mm-hmm. I truly felt that my parents trusted us until we gave them reason not to, and I never did. Now, the big brother may have, but I never did. I was good as a kid, even as a teenager. But because of that, my mom was my best friend growing up. Like I could tell her anything. I could tell her and my friends could talk to her and tell her anything. Right. So we always had that open communication, like from a child on, from, you know, safety, as far as, you know, when you stay all night with people, don't go in the bathroom, don't be under the covers, don't let nobody touch you, you know, private places. Like my mom and I always, she taught us all that stuff, right? So it was never hard. So that just naturally trickled over to my relationship with my daughter because I want her to feel like she can tell me anything and that I'm going to respond the right way, you know? Mm-hmm. So to directly answer your question, I feel like it's all about the open communication that starts from birth, really, right? How you're going to interact with your child. Yes, you do have to make a hard pivot when they become teenagers, because when they're little, they're going to listen to everything you say, do whatever you want them to do, right? But when they become a teenager and they're learning and seeing and around other people, more people, it looks different. So we had to make a hard pivot, and it was hard for me. So we had to create healthy boundaries. What I didn't want to do is dummy my daughter's voice or water it down, right? Mm-hmm. She knows I don't like when people cut me off. She knows I don't like when people talk over me. She knows that I absolutely hate the screaming, right? So that doesn't mean she doesn't fall short sometimes, and I may act out by responding, but more times than not, we respect each other's boundaries, right? Like, she doesn't want me in her face fussing with my hands, right? That she doesn't like that, right? So just trying to respect that, but also building just that communication. What I tell a lot of the people that I coach is we can't control anybody. No. We can't control anything or anybody but ourselves. I think a lot of parents and educators get so caught up in trying to control the child. Just like a wild animal, what are they going to end up doing? They will eventually rebel, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is coaching, training, advising, leading, and guiding, right? God gave these kids to us for a reason. So being intentional. Again, we're parents. We fall short. It is not perfect. Trust me. So I think, Crystal, it really truly starts with, it starts early. You know, not that you don't trust your parents, but I think sometimes too, having judgmental people in your space is hard, right? And so let me say that, not even judgmental, condemning people, because we all judge and we have to judge everything in life to even be safe. So I don't think judging is wrong. Condemning people is what's wrong, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just an early relationship by way of communication and trust and non-judging is kind of what, to me, takes away that fear for families, for kids and their parents. Sorry, y'all. I know I was long-winded.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so the flip side of Tavis is Maria's parenting style. I wish you did. some of that for sure. I had my boys early, so kind of young, but I have a huge family, so I've always kind of raised kids, if that makes any sense. We mm-hmm. took care of each other at an early age, you know. So having Taylan wasn't that big of a deal for me. Like, it probably was a shock to some people, especially at the age that I had him. You mm-hmm. two were there with me at some point in time, right at that point, you know, at Western. So, I would say, to some extent, kind of piggybacking off Tavis, our parents are best of friends. So we have watched the two dynamics where she's like, you know, my mother knew this, you know, and I was like, I can't wait to get over to Aunt Jennifer's house. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. the grass is always greener, right?
Right.
And I think sometimes it's like that with raising the kids. They always mm-hmm. see something else. We do too. Mm-hmm. I think you always want to, in some way, shape, or form, whether you have children or not, whether you're the auntie or the godmama and or mm-hmm. godfather and all of those different things, or grandparent, whatever, adopted, whatever, you want them to be better than you, you would hope. Mm-hmm. And I think if you keep that in mind, at least for me, that's one thing I wanted to do as a mother. I didn't want to be my mom. I didn't want to be my dad. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I had bad parents, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But my mother wasn't overly maternal. So mm-hmm. that's what I saw at Aunt Jennifer's house, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she may not have been either. I don't know. Yeah, you know, but it felt mm-hmm. like it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but my mom stood her ground, and she was more of what you're talking about, Tavis. And Crystal, mm-hmm. you're the same way. That's what you remind me of, is the have a voice. Here's mm-hmm. the voice. Here's this, whether you feel like mm-hmm. you have it or not sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I wanted my boys, because I was raising boys. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different. I don't have mm-hmm. girls, and mm-hmm. I did not want to be the mother that babied the boys. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's the Scorpio in me, but I'm a hard lover. Mm-hmm. I fight hard for my family, my kids, and all of that good stuff. So I'm the stern, you know, discipline, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I love them from afar. I didn't want to be the hovering helicopter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I worked really hard at that. But like you both all three of you have said, you know, the manner of communicating. And I haven't always been very good at that because it was, let me get my point across in the sense of this is the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Or the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's because I want you to be better than me one day, you know? Mm-hmm. And even as you grow up and learn things, because they're going to be out in the world, whether it's with us or not, we can leave out of here tomorrow and mm-hmm. you need to know how to take care of yourself. And that mm-hmm. was always my kind of my back of the head, you know, my mm-hmm. MO too, is to make sure that these fellows are going to be useful to themselves and mm-hmm. for anybody. Mm-hmm. So the attitude wasn't going to fly with me. Right. It just doesn't. And that's kind of a line. I think you were talking about healthy boundaries and mm-hmm. how do you do that? Because Crystal, like you, I was scared of my parents. And I had always said, even to my kids, and I it's funny how you throw things up on them, you know?
Like, oh yeah, it's real.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I remember saying what I was just at a conference this weekend and since Thursday, and we were just talking about it, but it was kind of the, you know, I always taught the kids, make sure the consequence is worth it. Whatever you do in life, make sure the consequence is worth it. So I always had that. So I really wasn't that bad of a kid or, you know, did weird mm-hmm. things. You know, I really didn't because I was scared of my parents. Mm-hmm. I didn't mm-hmm. want my kids to be scared of me to an extent, mm-hmm. but in a way that you should be able to tell me anything. And right. I don't ever want you to fear not telling me things. But when I do tell you to do something, you know, it's where it's coming from. I mean it. Yeah. It's to save you, help you, prepare, mm-hmm. guide, mm-hmm. because that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? And even the circle. Because we have a circle, a big circle, you should know that if any of these people in this circle have your back and you can talk to, trust or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have the chip on your shoulder all the time to say, well, I don't want my kids to talk to such and such, or I don't know what she's going to say. So mm-hmm. don't be going, you know, the whole, if they're in my circle, they're there and, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, have our back. I'd rather them talk to somebody, even if it isn't me, that I know is going to have somewhat of like-minded, mm-hmm. you know, that I would have as if I were talking to their kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of that communication. Even if I don't feel like I have it, I should have people around me and they know these are the people you can go to if you ever need anything. Mm-hmm. It isn't Maurice and I, but we've always mm-hmm. been pretty open with our kids, but, you know, try to hope that they would tell us everything. They're mm-hmm. not. We can tell our parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we have some of those common senses, I think, too, to realize they're not going to talk to you about everything. But you mm-hmm. hope and pray. All you can do is cover them and hope that they right. will go to somebody in your circle, at least, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. talk to getting stuff from everybody else. So I've fallen short for sure with communication. Mm-hmm. When I do communicate, this is the matter of fact, kind of you were talking about my mother. I think I get it on it, you know. But other than that, I'm like, you got to grow up. You know what I'm saying? You got to do it. You got to live. You got to experience stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we'll do mm-hmm. stuff.
Right.
Because
right.
we were scared to do that, I think.
Yeah.
A little mm-hmm. bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. And definitely, you know, communication is big, because one thing that mom always used to say to me in regards to relationship is you have to know how to communicate. Relationships are healthy from communicating. Learn how to communicate with your partner, with your kids, with whatever. And mom was always that way. And daddy was the more chill dad. Yeah. But as we've gotten, and people say you have awkward relationship with your dad at certain age and then it, you know, it'll flourish back out. I was daddy's girl, right? Them teenage years was probably scary for him, for me being a girl child, right? So we talked, but it was kind of different, not bad. It was just kind of that probably awkward, weird time. But now, like, I talk to him more than I talk to my mom. You know what I'm saying? Plus, he's a little bit more patient than my mom, too, at this point. So, you know, there's reasons why. But more than anything, that communication is important. And like I said about your mom, I'm only speaking from the discipline aspect, right? And I have a girl child and you got boys. So yeah, there's a difference. We got the mouths. We know how we was, the fussing, the trying to talk back, all the emotions, all of that all the time, right? I'm like, girl, turn down at some point, you know? So I don't think I've given her over freedom, but I do think that for her, I don't know that maybe her dad's family likes that as much, right? Because again, that's that old school upbringing. Not to say it's wrong or right, but because of the world we live in now, I need her to be able to stand on her own two feet. I need to know if I die tomorrow, and I tell her this, you're going to be okay. You're going to push forward. I've given you tools. I've planted seeds. And, you know, whether you go with your dad or go with my parents, they know me and how I've raised you and what I expect, right? And what you're capable of. So I think that's important because, you know, we all want to know that our kids are going to be able to make it, you know, when we're no longer here. And I think that's important. So, Crystal, I think that, you know, it starts early, you know, it starts early with kids. And then every kid is different. Me and my brothers are all different, you know, where Cobra was always the one getting into everything, being sneaky, you know, halfway mean half the time. Quentin was quiet. He was quiet, in which he's 10 years younger than us, but he was still quiet, laid back, and he's still that way, right? Cobra is chill now, of course, as a man, but, you know, he was that kid that was always trying to get into something. And I was just, I'm me. I've just always been me, really. You know what I'm saying? Matured, of course, but I've just always been me. Cobra used to say, she get on my nerves. She's always talking. You don't know everything. You know what I'm saying? But that's just me, you know, the middle child. And we fight to be seen a lot, right? Because mm-hmm. the oldest gets all the attention and the youngest gets all the attention. And then my daddy comes back and says, you don't think so? My daddy comes back and says, and you're the only girl, so you get all the attention. But they do expect more out of me, too, than they do the boys. They may not agree with that, but they do. They do. Yeah. Sorry, James. You probably don't forget the question.
I think the question was, how's the parents respond? Mm-hmm. What should parents do to respond when their children mm-hmm. say it? My opinion, what a parent ought to do is look at, actively listen to what their child is saying. Mm-hmm. Don't automatically go on the defensive mode of, oh, wow, so you're questioning my parenting skills now? Actually take a step back and be like, you know what, maybe I haven't done everything right. Let me take a step back at this moment and look and make sure that I am actually hearing you. Because mm-hmm. if I don't hear you, what you're going to be more apt to do is shut down, not tell me anything. And then mm-hmm. when you really get in trouble, then you're not going to come to me because of the simple mm-hmm. fact of I've already broken that trust in you automatically. Mm-hmm. And when you get in trouble, what you're going to do is you're going to think, I don't want to go to my parents because automatically I know all they're going to do is yell, fuss, and scream. I'll go over here and try to figure out the situation mm-hmm. on my own. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And make a bigger mess of it every time. I do it exactly. I try to do it myself. I try to before they find out. And then by the time I'm like, I done made a mess, and I'm like, okay, God, if you can't fix it, who can I call? And then I have to call my parents. And then my mom's first word is, well, why didn't you say anything, Crystal? And then the first thing I'm thinking was, because I didn't want to hear the screaming, yelling, complaining, and all the
other thank you. Come on.
That's come right. On. And then, like, it's this thing in Black culture, too. Mm-hmm. We've taught, like, our generation was taught to survive like our parents were. Mm. So we're in survival mode all the time. So when you hit 18, you either go to college or you work, but you're going to figure it out. Because they don't know. It's like even like seeking therapy was something that was new to my parents. When I said, I'm going to see a therapist, that was like, why? You know,
why are you doing that?
Go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. that's what their culture did. That's what mm-hmm. their generation did. But for mm-hmm. me, I needed mm-hmm. something more to help me figure out what was going on. So mm-hmm. the figuring out part mm-hmm. is usually where I make a mess. Because mm-hmm. I'm sitting here trying to fix stuff so nobody finds out that I made a mess. Mm-hmm. And then the mess gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do And so by that time, when I reach out to my parents to ask them for their assistance, they're like, I just can't even believe you waited this long. Like,
right.
It comes from that trauma response or that coping mechanism of survival. Like, I gotta figure it out. I have to figure it out myself because I'm an adult. I shouldn't be relying on my parents. I shouldn't be having to keep going back and they fix it. And then I come back and I make another mess and then they fix it. That's how I feel with God too, because I feel like, don't leave me out here too far, because you know I can't be trusted.
I can't be trusted with my own devices.
Right,
no,
I can't. It's like, I'm serious. I'll be on a straight and narrow and squirrel, and that squirrel will take me so far off course that I don't even remember where the track was in the beginning. That's me. I am like, and this is where I'm hoping that when I do have children, that I know how to communicate and be able to listen to their needs as well. So, but it'll
be trial and error
responses to come in.
You
know what I mean?
There's no book.
It's not. And they sell plenty of them
and make billions and billions of dollars. It's your book and your journey and your life and your kids.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Woo!
Yeah,
I get so tired of hearing that. I don't know, Tavis. Yeah. We both are probably. Yeah. I can easily say we'd speak for each other in that, because that's the thing. Like you said, it's trial and error. Exactly what Tavis said, and you know that's the problem is you're putting a lot on yourself. Right, you're already putting some stuff on yourself because first off, we know you and I love you very much, so I know you'd be a great mama, but it's you know, it is, and it's hard when you look at a little person's face and they're so cute. And I remember Gabriel's teachers, he was little, that's my youngest, and they would say, he's so cute, I can't even get on him. My child, bless his heart, was bad. And it wasn't his fault. He was my son's has autism on the autism spectrum. He has Asperger's. So at the time, of course, young, you didn't know that and all this stuff. But I was like, yeah, anyway, we're going over here to this closet over here. But you know what I mean? You'd have to do it your way. And that's just it, you know?
That's it.
And some of that is, I mean, and again, this is kind of my opinion and my approach a little bit. I know what I didn't want. Not necessarily what I wanted or could do or should do, but I absolutely knew what I wasn't going to do. And I think that's where you start, though. Seriously, you know, with that, it's like, you know, I don't want to be. Tavis, you just said it, the fusser. You don't want, and I am the fusser. I'm probably the one.
I fall short.
Once I get to that point, that's the thing. Once I'm
right,
it's done.
Right.
Now, before and you know, during and all this, until you get to I'm like, I'm okay, I'm done. But that's where my communication, you know, I'm learning and I'm growing. I'm 45 years old and still growing, you know, we still have to learn. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You're just like, oh, well, and then you get to the youngest and you know, he's living better than I am. I don't understand. You know, I'm like, you have no job. You know, he does have a job actually. He's at work, but you know, you know what I'm saying. But that's exactly what you're going to do. And you're going to fall short. You're like, oh, I should have did this. Well, you know, the next time it is what it is. You know what Yeah. You just can't be too hard on yourself either. Because they are going to ask these hard questions and they are going to come out of nowhere and you're not going to know how to answer them. And, you know,
that's true. It is. That's true. Are parents to blame for the children's emotions? Are parents to blame for the children's emotions?
I don't think 100%, because how can people be to blame if they don't know? It's like, if you're not communicating what you need, or if you're not telling them that there's something wrong, they can't recognize. They're human.
That's right.
You know, and one of the things I had to learn through just therapy was I had to take a step back, and I did. I blamed my parents for a lot of things. I was like, you know, always pointing a finger, but then I realized I was like, but they didn't know. Like, I never communicated.
Or Crystal, were they doing what they were taught? You know,
And that's exactly
that's something too. Were they doing what they were taught, or all they know? You know,
And then it's like also to remember, my parents were coming out of civil rights and integration. So they're doing fights out here, trying to, you know, having kids in the midst of this and then trying to set up lives for themselves. And they're dealing with their own pain, their own hurts, their own things that they're having to deal with. And then they bring kids into it. And you're just like, okay, I need to think rationally about this. I don't think they're to blame for it. I think it is where we talk of where we were talking about communication. It all goes back to communication.
It does.
And if you are not expressing to your parents how you're feeling or what your emotions are at that time, they can't read you. I mean, you can come out in anger, and like I said, with that said, I didn't ask to be here, but they're like, whoa, wait a minute, where's this coming from? But if you've never communicated what you're feeling in that moment or why you're saying it, then I mean, that's not their fault. You have to take personal accountability. Have you communicated this to them? And if not, then this is the time to talk about it. But if you've communicated this and they're still not listening, then yes, there's a blame that needs to go there to be like, okay, now you're not listening. And I need to show up now or whatever. So no, I don't think they're to blame if it hasn't been communicated.
I think, again, our parents did the best that they knew with what they had based off of their own experience and just, you know, the knowledge that they have. And for me, I know that I have done the very best. That doesn't mean that it always worked, right? Do I feel that sometimes Ava's outbursts and emotions are my fault? I do. I do feel that way. I don't think it's the guilty parent syndrome. I just think that, dang, I could have handled that better, right? Or I shouldn't have said that. Or, dang, I was too hard on her. You know, I think back on the first time I, you know, I popped her, you know, spanked her leg, or and I've apologized. I'm thinking, girl, I shouldn't have spanked you for that. I shouldn't have popped you for that. You know, like when I think about it, I cringe because there wasn't really, all you needed was a conversation in that moment, right? Now, do I believe spankings are okay? Yeah, I think sometimes every kid needs a good old-fashioned butt whooping, right? I do think every blue moon they do. Am I saying you need to do that or you should? Nope. Do I feel like it's a better way? Yep. Do I feel like every kid is different? Absolutely. Me and Kobe used to get our butts whooped all the time, mostly because we fought. Quentin probably got two. Like, literally, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do feel like, and I say all the time, it really wasn't all the time, but mostly when we fought each other, we would get in big trouble, right? And it was not always a spanking or a whooping, as we used to call it. It might have been fussed at and grounded, you know, but I still feel like there's ways to go about it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like for so long, too, we've been this hush-hush, right? Everybody has gotten a spanking at some point in life. Not everybody, but a lot of the population has, right? Whether it was right or wrong, whatever. It hurts. You know, I used to hear my parents say, it hurts us more than it hurts y'all. It does. That shit is, sorry. What? Stuff is true.
What?
It is true. No, it's true because it's emotional for the parent, right? We know the kids' feelings are hurt and emotionally and physically, but it does kind of, well, it did me. I can't speak for everybody. It would hurt my feelings when I would pop Ava, right? So I think that it's sometimes it is our fault, sometimes it's not, you know? And I think that when you learn your child and their personality, you better learn how to discipline your child, right? Because every kid don't need they butt whooped. Every kid don't even need to be yelled at or screamed at, right? Every kid don't need that type of harsh discipline. And when they don't, then don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Find another way. So I say it just depends. I think it just depends on the kid, truly. What about you, James?
Definitely. In those situations, are the parents to blame for the kid's emotions? No, as Crystal said. Unless it's been discussed and the kid has already told them, like, look, this is how this makes me feel, and the parent hasn't changed their actions, then in that situation, yeah, the parents are to blame for it. However, if there's been no communication about how I'm feeling about a certain thing, then we can't expect our parents to be mind readers. Like we said already, like, we have to open up our mouths and let them know, like, hey, I don't like this, I don't like that. And let them know, like, hey, this affects me this way when you do this. Or you got to be open, have that open communication.
For sure. I think that's important. How should parents and children express their needs and disappointments to one another?
Like, I think we siblings, already said it. I guess. You think?
What'd you say, like, Maria?
Siblings, I guess, to each other or to the parents?
How should parents and children express their needs and disappointments to one another? I guess, well, you know, me and Ava have that kind of conversation. So what the way I read it is, like, if I've done something that has hurt Ava's feelings or that she didn't like, does she have the power to tell me that? She does. She absolutely does. I may not want to hear it soon after, you know what I'm saying? But if she didn't like something I said or done, I do want her to tell me, because I don't want to be a repeat offender, right? I don't want to keep doing that if it makes you feel or think a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, full transparency, she did say one time that sometimes she feels that that I'm a burden. And not necessarily because of what I've said, but because she's seen me as a single mom struggle, you know, and because it's just been me and her 15 years and 9 months, it's just been me and her. So she's seen the good and the not so good, but she didn't see it because I was intentionally talking to her about it or sharing it. But she's heard me cry. She's heard my prayers. She's heard conversations with my mom. You know what I'm saying? She's heard things, you know, indirectly. And, you know, for her to say that, like, it crushed me, you know what I'm saying? And in that moment, all I could do was convince her that it's not her fault. It's not her fault. I probably should have chose another. I should have kept trying to be a doctor. I should have kept trying to be a nurse, and we wouldn't have been financially struggling. But that doesn't mean that we wouldn't have struggled in another way. You know, it could have been an emotional thing, a time thing. Like, I have been afforded with the career path that I have to be, not miss a game, to be at every single thing. God has blessed me with jobs that have been understanding of me being a single parent. You know what I'm saying? So never a burden, right? It's not always easy because I am here doing it by myself, but never a burden, right? So I think it's okay. As long as they can express it in a respectful way, you know, I think that it's okay. And of course, we always tell them what we don't like because we parents, and you shouldn't have did that. And I don't like, you know, but I think what's important too is what Maria said earlier about how this is why I don't want you to do that. This is why I'm upset and disappointed, because you chose to do this, right? It's not safe, you know, and I wrote down what you said because I like quotes and poems. Make sure the consequences is worth it, right? Because not, and these kids do have to, you know, what I find is they think for the now and not for the future. And I constantly tell Ava and her friends, the way you practice, the way you study, the way you do things now, you're creating unhealthy habits. What you do, like how you practice, is how you perform, right? So you've got to start creating healthy habits. Now, Ava, it's not like you ain't never had all this structure, because y'all know I'm system person, but you know, they veer off sometimes as teenagers, and then they got to figure it back out. But I'm gonna need her to figure out some things before she go to college. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my prayer is that she's gonna get to school and surprise me, right? Like, oh my god, girl, I ain't gonna be able to hold your hand. I can't call no teachers. I ain't gonna call you and wake you up every day. Like, there's just things that maturity needs to happen, right? So yeah, I think it's okay for both parties to express good and bad in different things, for sure. Mm-hmm. I do. What about you, Maria?
You don't sound like, no, you talk when I tell you to. No, I'm just, I'm just joking. I'm teasing. I know. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't know. I think it's easy, like, you know, we've said this, but you know, it's easy to get complacent too. We work all day, we're tired, you know, we run to death, we have multiple ideas or activities or businesses that we're mm-hmm. running. I mean, you know what I mean? You have mm-hmm. somebody to take care of all the time. And like you, I mean, you know, you, my sister is a single mama and she's been doing it for, you know, mm-hmm. Justin's 18 now, but mm-hmm. a senior in high school. And, you know, I said, there's times out here, you know, she's tired. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my best girlfriends, she's kind of like my sister. She's older than I am, but mm-hmm. she was the same way. And I used to hear mm-hmm. her just say, I'm just tired. I'm ready for this boy to go. You know, she mm-hmm. had one son. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you don't love your kids at all, but you also have to have that open dialogue, but the discipline, you know, that balance for me, again, it's the balance between discipline and respect mm-hmm. and being independent too, mm-hmm. because, you know, Maurice and I we're complete opposites, but one thing's for sure is that we've always been centered around our kids and making sure that their education was top, whatever mm-hmm. we do, or at least have a voice in whatever school system. We've always typically have been in a predominantly white city, you know, mm-hmm. that's how my kids grew up. So I wanted to make sure as African-American boys, black boys, that, you know, they didn't meet the statistic of 1 in 3 boys are going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And I refused one of mine to be one of those, mm-hmm. you know, to be locked up and be in prison and all this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. I didn't want that for my boys. Mm-hmm. I grew up a little different than my kids ever have, you know. Mm-hmm. And they just, we were, Crystal, dead on, we're survivors. That's what we mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. And it was however you could survive. From getting your shoes taken to not having enough to eat to mm-hmm. watching your parents struggle mm-hmm. to watching them fight and battle mm-hmm. back and forth, you know, growing mm-hmm. up and things like that. I've watched all that, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad's a preacher. It was hard to watch him take care of other people. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That part of like, well, why are you going over there to, mm-hmm. you know, them or their game or, you know, mm-hmm. and my dad worked third shifts for a lot of our years too. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see him as much, you know, mm-hmm. sleeping mm-hmm. and all this other stuff because he had work. Mm-hmm. And mama worked first shift, typically around kind of how we went to school. So she's mm-hmm. running 3 kids. That's not a negative thing because Maurice and I did the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do what you got to do. But like, and I think you mentioned, Crystal, I think you mentioned just the guilt or just, what do you do to split your time? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. But I just think you have to allow them to be who they are. We all have personalities too. Mm-hmm. And we aren't always our parents. And mm-hmm. It's nice to see that you have little traits in your children. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to take the bad ones from my parents. And I yeah. don't want my boys to do the same, you know, with me right. or mm-hmm. their dad, whatever. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's just about... Mm-hmm. having the respect to say things that you need to say, but to mm-hmm. listen to them how you need to say them. Do not come at me with an attitude because I promise you're not going to preach.
Right. Right.
That's how I was.
But no, that's real.
Mm-hmm. That too. And granted, that was, again, my mm-hmm. version of communication, which probably isn't the best. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like that's why my boys have always pretty much respected me. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that they didn't try me.
Right.
I pinned them up against the wall a couple of times. Right. They're all bigger than me, but you right. know, I'm like, you're not going to treat me mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. You know, mm-hmm. I love you more than anybody ever will.
Absolutely. Aside
from the Lord. Anybody right. ever will. You're good, that's you're right. bad, whatever. And what mm-hmm. you're not going to do is treat me a certain way.
That's right.
Not. Yeah. So that's mm-hmm. just how my approach is. Now mm-hmm. that, again, that may not be the best, but then I also had a husband that was gracious and, he's more of the kind-hearted kind of chill, like Uncle Mark, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They just kind of laid mm-hmm. back. And, but once you kind of push him too, he's like, oh, wait a minute, you know, but I think you have to have that again. You have to have that around you, whether it's whoever it is around you, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. For kids to listen because they do need to hear you. And they just do. I think that's why some of these issues, you know, God bless them down in Nashville today. You know, there shouldn't mm-hmm. be 9-year-olds, 3 of them killed, you know,
yeah, it's terrible.
You shouldn't have, you know what I mean? The employees, they're all in their sixties, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just, mm-hmm. nobody is helping anybody. Like what? I don't understand. And
right.
I think this is what's missing, if that makes any sense. And mm-hmm. we talk about how bad we had it and sometimes, and the discipline maybe that we've gotten and the fear. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that. Don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of have to be scared of something because these kids are not anymore. they're just not people aren't, you know, and it's scary that these are the folks that are going to be taking care of us one day.
Right. And,
you know, I just didn't want to create that, you know?
Yeah. I know a scary thing too is, you know, we know that once they're grown out of their house, out of our home where we can't see and lay eyes on them, and it may be my nervousness, I'm not fearful, but I am nervousness comes from having a girl child and how cruel this world is and how I want to make sure that she's confident in herself when it comes to dating and making friends and, you know, just all of that stuff, right? Because they have what we didn't have, and that's access to everything at their fingertips. Everything, everything. Like, I'm having conversations with her, and she's like, "Mama, I saw it online." Like, da da da. I was like, "What?" She's like, I'm like, "Oh my God!" You know, it's just too much. Because of course we don't know. You know what I'm saying? Every single thing. And Maria, you said, or Crystal, one of you guys said something earlier about blaming the parents when, you know, it's hard to blame them if they don't know that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I had that situation. You know, I wish that my mama was retired. I wish she was retired. But, you know, I was holding it against her for real that she wasn't retired, because, like, when I have to travel, I just want her to be able to come down here, stay with Ava, get her to school, and let me go do what I need to do, you know. But it's always got to be a plan, or we got to figure it out, or, you know, and I was really mad at her. And plus, one time she told me no, and I was like, what? If it was COVID, this kid, you wouldn't
you can
never
see the
that,
trajectory, you know? of what,
yeah.
She wasn't bad, she was a brat. Spoiled.
So I realized, and then I said to Ava, like, when you have kids, call me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be, if we're not in the same city, I am going to be the yaya that is going to be there ready to watch my kids so you can travel and do whatever you got to do, single or married, right? Because that's what I wanted. So I was putting that on my mom too. And I had to, once talking to a friend on the phone, and he was just like, "Don't you think you're probably," and I'm like, "I am mad at my mom, and she doesn't even realize that I got this chip on my shoulder," right? And I had to acknowledge that, admit that, and apologize to her and Ava, because I done told her what I was going to do when I was a yaya. She may want a nanny, you know what I'm saying? She may not want me to watch the kid, you know. But it is sometimes those things that we hold against our parents or our children that they don't realize that we're holding it against them, right? And if they don't know, then they can't make it better or fix it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Sorry, James. Go ahead.
Real quick, I know we have some more questions on here.
Yeah, we probably won't get to
but I want to pivot real quick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was scrolling through Facebook on the other day, and as I was scrolling through Facebook, I noticed something, and it kind of caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do at this moment is a little something like this. Hold on 1 second.
Oh. My birthday.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
oh, thank you, James.
So, with this, Tevis, I have a couple of little things lined up for you. First off, we have a special guest that you have no idea
at all.
Yeah, at all. But we want to. I'm gonna give you 3 clues and allow you to guess who your special guest is.
Okay.
First clue that you can get is WKU.
Everybody I know, I don't know. These 2 ladies on the call with me. I got tons of sorority sisters and friends. I have no clue. It could be anybody. I don't know. I can't answer that one.
Gamma, Sigma, Sigma.
Yeah, these two are that too. So unless it's Erica Green or Tanaka or LB, like one of my line sisters, then I don't know. Or, I mean, it could be anybody.
And your last clue that you are getting tonight is Miami Shrimp.
Miami Strip. So it was a lot of us in Miami. Miami Strip. I'm not sure.
Do you want to take a guess?
I mean, it was so many of us there. Maria was with me. Aurelia was there. Erica Johnson was there. Heather was there. I don't know. Brittany was there. Jessica was there.
So do you want to take a guess?
That's all. I mean, that's, I'm forgetting some, a couple of people, but yeah.
Okay. So all right. So surprise at this time, I'm going to see if they are ready. Are you ready? When you're ready, turn on your camera and I'll bring you on the screen. And here we go.
Jessica! I was like, maybe I'm trying to remember where everybody was sleeping at, right?
I was going to say ride to the airport. I should have said ride to the airport because you would have
right. Got that, yeah, I would have caught that because we were sitting Miami Strip. I'm like, well, it could have been anybody. But yeah.
But I was trying to get some that would give it away but wouldn't give it away.
Right,
I was
right,
like, I know
right.
She knows a lot of people from Western. I know she knows Gavin Singh. So I was like, okay. But yeah, he asked me to come on and give you a birthday tribute and just kind of speak some kind words over you tonight.
Thank you.
And so, do you want me to go ahead and do that, or was there something else you wanted to do, Jay?
Go on ahead.
Okay. So, I just wanted to come on here and say happy early birthday, because I know it's not your birthday yet, but happy early birthday. And shout out to you for being part of women's history, because you're making history with all the moves that you've been making. As I've learned more about your business and what you're trying to do, I see you stepping into that role. I see your daily posts on there. So if you don't see her, like, go on her page and watch her daily posts. And Mythbusters, is that what you call Mythbusters? Oh, Truth. Daily Truths with Tevis.
Truth with Tevis. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's spreading a lot of good information. But also, besides that, besides being a businesswoman, you're a great mother, a great friend. I'm still learning you more on that aspect. But what I've learned about you, this is a little side note. I think I told you this, Tevis, so this is not something new, but I always told Tevis, I thought she was me.
Yes, you did.
When I was online, I was like, it's mean. I don't want to talk about
it. You did.
But yeah, but I've learned otherwise. But yeah, she's very humble. She's a very awesome person, very great mother, very great friend, and I'm thankful to have known her and getting to know her, as well as the rest of you ladies. I don't know.
Crystal?
Yeah, I didn't know you were Gamma Sig.
Girl, I'm in the shadows. I'm like in the
back. Her and Maria left me earlier. Okay.
Oh, well, nice to meet you. I crossed Springer 6. So, yeah, I don't know when you were at Western, but
it's my first 96, 97.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
I forgot James always said he was always full of surprises and he knows how to keep secrets. I would know nothing about this.
Yeah. All right. I'll let the other two spoil you with love and then I will go last.
Okay.
Whoever wants to go first.
Me? Oh, well, I'm just going to say, I love you. It doesn't matter if we don't talk every day or even every month or anything. Mm-hmm. You have always been someone that I've looked up to. Mm-hmm. I know that there was times where you would be like, why don't you communicate? Why don't you talk to me? But it's because when you hold somebody at a higher level, it's not that you expect them to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But you hold them at a high level, the last thing you want to do is disappoint them. And a lot of times when I would like I said in this call, when it comes to communication, I would try to fix stuff without telling anybody. But you've always been a person that, one, would tell the truth without it hurting. Mm-hmm. You always came from a place of love. Mm-hmm. No matter if it was a criticism, you knew that not only you had love behind it, but you had God behind it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate who you are. I appreciate that you're a fantastic mom. You're a fantastic friend, sister. I can't say enough good things about you. I am so proud of you and everything that you've done, that you've never given up, especially not giving up on yourself. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how hard it has been for you, you don't let people know you are struggling. Like, people would think Tevis got it all together. Tevis has got it together. And it might be people that are personally close to you that would know, but not us.
Right.
So thank you for being a light in my darkest hours. Thank you for being that friend who always keep it real, no matter if I didn't want to hear it, but I received it. Mm-hmm. But I love you, and I hope that this birthday opens every door, like, and I mean it, every door that you've always wanted to open, including love. Mm-hmm. And God showers you in such, and if I get to crying, sorry, I'm just the most to shower you with so much love because you deserve it.
Thank
so
you.
That's it. I'm gonna shut up because I'm not trying to cry.
Yeah, it's too late for me. Thank you.
Well, that's, you said enough. Thanks. I mean, I'm left. Story of our lives. In a good way. No, I tell you, I'm the same way. I really do, to the bottom of my heart. You know, I am a crier, so it is what it is. but, you know, same that you both have said, Jessica and Crystal both. And the thing is that Tevis and I have a weird chemistry because we've gone back to, we don't even remember how old we were, right? So we truly are like sisters, I think. You know what I'm saying? And Crystal hit the nail on the head. It's, we don't talk every day, you know? We don't get a chance to. We don't talk every month. You know, but it's not like a moment has gone by when we're together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about us. And I love that I do see your parents in you that I've always loved. So I love it more than anything. As much as we say we don't want to be our parents, we have great parents.
And we do. I am
proud that you are them in some ways, you know what I mean? But you become yourself, and you've grown into this amazing woman, and you know, all that we probably never wanted to be or thought we were going to be. Mm-hmm. And here you are, you know? And that's not going to stop. You know, you're a fighter too, and you have a daughter to fight for that you do every day. And you're teaching her the same things that our moms or dads or, you know, Grammys have taught us, you know what I mean? And that's what I love too, is that, you know, you just don't give up and you're doing the things you want to do. And I'm telling you, even as women in general, we don't do it and we don't fight for ourselves. We fight for everybody else and forget about us sometimes, even when we want to and can't. But you have always just kept stepping forward. You know, it probably hasn't always felt like that, but you have moved, you know, and I just, from the bottom of my heart, you know how much I love you. I don't have to sell that by any means. Our relationship has gone back from seriously since we don't even know. But I love that about us, and I love that about you. And like Crystal said, you just, you know, you need to communicate. Shut up, Tevis. You know, that's there's some realness in that, because you have to remind, but I love that you remind people to continue to be them and keep moving just like you do, even probably when you don't want to or feel like it or feel up to it. You push people. People watch your, like Jessica or all of, a lot, probably majority of your sorority sisters, at least that do watch you and watch you grow. I don't always comment. I don't always push like. I'm not always online, things like that. But when I scroll through and I stop and pause and listen and I'm just elated to have an ounce of anything that I've had with you, friendship, sisterhood, the whole nine. And just appreciate you. And April 1st is going to be a good day.
It is. It is.
But happy birthday, love. I love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, can I just say that's why I joined Gamma Sig, this right here, because my sister, everything they said is real. Like I didn't know a lot of my older sisters, but that Miami trip, like I'm always thankful that Gamma Sig brought us together and that I have the women that I have in my life to look up to, because everybody's a force in their own area. And I am so thankful that Gamma Sig brought us together, because I wouldn't have known these women otherwise.
Right.
So I guess I'll go next before we turn it over to Tevis. For me, when I met you, it was actually a pre-show for The Godly View. That was our first time meeting each other. And as soon as we met each other, the first thing that you told me is, you know my grandfather. And I'm like, I do? And as he continued to talk, I'm like, oh, wow, I know your grandfather. I know your whole family. Like, we started going down the line. And from that moment on, we built a connection. And then from then, I hit you up. I'm like, hey, I'm doing a panel on We'll Talk Monday. I would love you to be one of the panelists. I would love to. Fast forward, you was one of the first ones on that night for that show. And we was talking in the background, and I was telling you about how at that time we was going through a co-host shift, and I found one co-host, and you're like, hey, if they're not able to be on every week, I don't mind stepping in and coming on every other week with you. And from that moment on, I'm like, okay, let's see how the night goes, and we'll take it from there. Right after that episode, I think I hit you up and I told you, like, yeah, if you are really serious, like, we would love to have you on.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I cannot imagine We'll Talk Monday being what it is without you stepping in the way that you have. You have stepped in, and one of the things that I have to work on, which Daisy gets on me about a lot, is letting go of control a lot of the time. And now that I got people that can help me, admitting that, hey, I need help in this area. My thing is, I want to try to handle everything on my own. But now that I have you and I have a Daisy that are willing to help me out in every way that I need, I appreciate you, and I can honestly say I can take a back seat now and allow some of that work to be done by you all. And I appreciate you. I absolutely love you and adore you, and I pray that April the 1st is a great birthday for
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. So I'm going to acknowledge over here really quick. Crystal, thank you. Love you so much. Appreciate you. Daisha, thank you. It's definitely been a pleasure getting to know you. I appreciate you. You are definitely a wonderful soul as well. Stephanie, you my girl. It's so crazy to meet someone that you are like a twin flame. We've got situations and stories and family dynamics that are so similar. You know, you are special as well. You ladies that are on here, Jessica, thank you. It was such a pleasure to bond with you that year we went to Miami. Me saying, hey, come ride with me. We can go to the airport together. You know, that was just me trying to help out, support, right? Trying to make life easier for somebody else. And what I got out of that is to get to know one of my sisters. And I think that you are such a beautiful person. Your heart is so golden. I just think that you're amazing. You are also a great mom, single mom, doing what you can, the best that you can, and just keep letting your light shine, you know, because we do have little people that are bigger than us probably now looking up to us or looking at us. So Just stand in your truth, be the best that you can be, for sure. So I appreciate you being here with us. Crystal, I don't know where to begin.
Don't make me cry, listen.
I have a soft spot for you because you are so tender. And if I could pour any amount of strength that you guys feel that I have into you, that is what I would give you. You are way more amazing than you think that you are. And I really just want you to start giving yourself the credit. It doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody thinks. Walk in your truth. Walk in your confidence. Who cares what mom and dad, brother, sister, cousin, friend, neighbor, who cares? Be you, because you are a beautiful light amongst all things. So I always want to take care of you. And I know that when you're going through something and you express it to me and I hear it, I know that it may not always be gentle. And that's because I want to shake you and be like, girl, snap out of it. It's okay, right? But I also know that everybody processes things differently, right? And I respect that. But just know that you are worthy, that you are capable, that you can, and there is absolutely nothing in this world that you cannot do, period. And I pray that you find all the love in every aspect, have some babies, get a husband, become this famous actor, actress, author, writer, whatever it is, I pray that you get that for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Maria, my feisty sister who I had my first argument with in Miami. I hated that. I hated that. But that was our protection coming out, right? I know what that was, right? But it was just a crazy moment when she says that we go back from before we even remember, summer vacations, weekends, par makers, or the world classics. Like, it goes back. And you're being in your wedding with you on that day, you look like a princess. Beautiful day. Your boys love you unconditionally. Like, it just spills out just in the pictures and things that I see. And no matter how many things that we say that we might not have wanted to take from our parents, some things we do. But it, even if we strayed away or had our hiccups in life, and so will our children, what stands the same is that we are here. And it's love, right? No matter which way it is, right? It's love. I admire your strength. I admire the ability to fight through all the things that you have had to fight through. And you, to me, have a strength that is softly spoken. It's not shouted out. Half the time, we may not even know you're going through something. Unless I just so happen to text and say, and then you kind of still skirt around it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I don't want to do too much because she might bite my head off. Girl, quit being nosy, you know. But I appreciate you for who you are. My love for you ladies is forever, right? Again, we may not talk every day or every month. It may be once a quarter, a text message, but regardless, when we're back together, it's like we've never skipped a beat, right? So I appreciate each one of you all. Please know that you guys are amazing. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. And always step into that. James, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. You and Jessica both being on both of the shows and allowing me to have a voice, right? For a long time, since I was a kid, I had adults telling me that, you know, I'm a leader. You're a leader. You're a leader. You know, and life happens and, you know, you kind of start revisiting things. What this platform has done for me is making me become confident talking on camera, because those truths with Tevis and all that stuff would have never happened had I not started doing this. So that you all have afforded me the opportunity to gain a confidence in an area that I really didn't have. I can talk all day in front of anybody, but in this camera thing, it was just always awkward and weird for me. So thank you both for James, for inviting me to be a part of your show. allow me to lead in the areas that you allow me to lead. Thank you for being a student when it's time to be a student, right? And not taking offense to my support or my guidance. Even me having it all planned out for the next
Wait a minute, y'all. I forgot. She is a perfectionist to the T. Perfectionist to the T. I love it, though. I love it.
Just like to get things in order. So thank you. Thank you, James, for believing in me and trusting in me and always being willing to learn and grow. You know, my motto for this year is like prosperity and, you know, my words and actions be minister peace and love to people, right? And that's what I want to hold. I fall short. I am not perfect. But that is just kind of how I want to lead, right? As I continue to step out into this world, you know, my life was kind of flipped upside down in February. No, people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. But I have truly had to sit into some stuff, right? And I've just been grateful that I have people that I can call on, that I can support, that I know love me from a distance, whether you know what's going on or not. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for all the kind things that you've said. It truly means a lot, for sure. Yep. Crystal, you see what Crystal said? Look, Crystal, you see what Crystal said?
Oh, thank you, Crystal. I love you.
So yeah, thank you guys. This is special. Yeah, like I was talking to somebody today and I'm like, today's Wednesday. They was like, Wednesday? We just started the week. I was like, maybe I'm trying to get to my birthday. Okay, maybe I'm trying to get to my birthday. So anyway, I appreciate this. This was a great start to my birthday week, really. So yeah. Thank you. Thanks, James.
You're welcome. You are welcome. So you all, thank y'all for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. We had a great discussion. Oh.
Going ahead. Sorry, we did not.
Oh my goodness.
Because I had to do that right now. That prayer that I'd be nervous about praying. So before you close out, Crystal and Maria, please share with us whatever you want, who you are, what you do, whatever you want to share. If you have a business, advertise that. This is your platform. So please do that.
Yeah, so I'm not following Crystal. I refuse. I'm going first. You're not doing that to me today, but you're not going to do it. No, the list, y'all.
Right.
It's my girl.
Is this my
It's not.
No, it is not. No, ma'am. Right. See, I follow you from it. See, I follow you from afar. I love from afar. So, right. I am a payroll administrator, so I work in HR and just moved back home to join my family. I've lived apart for about a year, maybe, without Maurice and my youngest. So I've moved back to Louisville full time and work in there. And I also am an event planner, wedding coordinator. And I, because of COVID, maybe like a lot of people, just kind of like Tevis mentioned too, trying to bring myself out of my own shell. I have been decorating and putting on events and doing these things for about 13 years, honestly, probably a little longer than that. But I've just started to, at the end of last year, have a true business. So I'm working on getting that off the ground and doing it the right way. You know, I'm like, I want to hire people to do this stuff. I want to just do my job. You know, I'm not good at the websites and all that other good stuff, but I'm working on it. That's what I do. I have my business is Now's the Time Events and Decor. Fact about that. I have done this for so long that I really didn't think of a business name or anything like that. Logos. And I'm just, you know, I just like to do it, but, I was in my car and that's where I do a lot of my praying. And because I was on the road so much back and forth from Louisville to Ohio. So I was like, you know, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do and when you want me to do this, and almost cut me off, like somebody cutting you off in a conversation. And it was like, well, now's the time. And I think because of COVID, my husband and I had COVID really, really bad prior to the vaccines coming out. And once we got over that, I was so scared that both of us were not going to make it at one point. And I thought, I'm going to leave my kids this way, you know, because of a virus. Mm-hmm. If I come out of this, Lord, I promise you, I'm not going to turn back. And that's when I kind of start really praying about my business and all that good stuff. And so now's the time. It's, you know, my motto is celebrate everything. It's mm-hmm. these birthdays. It's the young lady who's going to speak next, and the things that she's doing and the big things, and Jessica and, you know, the things that you all are doing. Now's the time to do it. You know, right. We can't keep sitting on things. We can't keep talking about it. We can't keep mm-hmm. dreaming about it. It's why I admire Tevis and James, just meeting you and what you've done with this platform as well. You know, it's one foot in front of another, and there's no time like the present. So that's kind of how my business kind of manifested, the name anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm working on, trying to grow and figure out how to do this business, because that's probably what I should have been doing to begin with. But, you know, I got to make money so I can do what right. I really need to do.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
You know, but I'm blessed to have that position. And kind of like Tevis mentioned earlier, just a little, I think God has afforded me a position to be able to do what I love to do at the mm-hmm. same time. So mm-hmm. there's that. But other than that, raising these kids and my family, and I have a husband that will be married. We never know. 24 years in July.
That's awesome.
And we've been together. It's my high school sweetheart. I married my high school sweetheart. So we got to play Kappa wife and husband this weekend for his women's council. So part of the Kappa Silhouettes, which are the wives and widows of Kappa Alpha Psi men. Mm-hmm. And I was over I'm the vice president of my chapter, and I was over the hospitality suite. So that's why I was so busy. And yes, it was me late getting the questions to everybody.
It's okay.
But it's okay. How I roll too. She knows. She's like, Maria, you're gonna question. You know what? You know, so, but yes, that's me in somewhat of a nutshell. Love my boys. My three boys are 25, 23, and 16. About to be 17.
What?
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. Taylan's in Chicago. Yeah, Taylan moved to Chicago in May. Zachary is here still working for a bank, still going through school. Mm-hmm. And Gabriel is a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be driving next month.
Yes. Ava in September, honey. Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, Mrs. Crystal.
So I'm Crystal. And I've decided to go by my middle name instead of my last name. It's not anything to do with my parents. I just weird because I was like, why'd you give me a middle name I never used? So I go by Crystal Danielle now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I am a writer. I'm an author. My genre is usually suspense thrillers. I'm big into creepy and creeping people out. I can admit
it. But scared of clowns.
I'm scared of it. Listen, I'll watch a scary movie, but I won't be in one. I will be honest with you. I'm gonna be 1,000% honest with you, okay? I just had one of those moments in life where I walked away from everything. I moved away from California. I am back in Louisville. A lot of people don't know that, but I did. Because California wasn't for me. It just wasn't. It was messing with my mental health. I couldn't take the traffic. Lord Jesus, I don't know how they do it. The earthquakes, I'm going to have to say, I think the friggin' not. I don't want anything moving underneath my feet that I don't know and I'm not aware of first.
Right.
So my black butt came back into Louisville because I needed to pivot. Because I was tired of corporate America. It just wasn't what I truly believe connected with me. I'm a creative. I still love to dance. I just got back into it so I could find the love in me again, liking me. So right now, I'm not really doing anything. I am doing the work on me first.
Mm-hmm.
Because this journey, this healing my traumas, healing my own pain, and just I was really terrible to myself, and I'm gonna be honest, I was You know, I would say the most ugliest things to myself. I didn't need anybody to abuse me. I was abusing me. So I needed to learn how to like me, how to love me, and also to find my true purpose in life. So right now, that's where I am. I'm trying new things to see where I fit in. I still do the writing. I do write screenplays. I haven't got to the point where I feel comfortable to where I want to sell it to anybody, but we're getting there. And it'll probably be in like suspense thriller, probably more into the period pieces, because I like stuff like Downton Abbey and stuff. But I also am a person who found out I like the outdoors, even though I'm scared of bugs. I like to kayak. I like to hike. I want to, you know, paddle surf. I don't want to surf where the sharks are. I'm not trying to be a meal, except to a man. But that is another story. And I'm starting to learn how to maybe put myself out there to date, because I haven't done that in the past. But we'll get there. Baby steps. But outside of that, I'm the cool, collected kind of, I keep in the background. If you need me, I'm there. If you're, you know, you know, I do like to research, so I do know like weird facts about things. But I'm a weird fact person.
That's right up my alley.
Right, you know. But hopefully one of my interests in the future is to get my PhD in maybe neurobehavioral psychology, something in the neighborhood, because I like studying human behavior, and I also want to go to law school. I don't want to go to law school to practice as an attorney. I want to go to law school to change policies, because I'm sick of this government. I'm sick of people in charge. So if I don't get to do it on the ground, I'm focused. I told God, I said, if you're going to make me do this, I'm going for one of those Supreme Court seats, because I'm done. I'm out. I can no longer live in a country that doesn't value human life. They just don't value us. So that's what I'm putting out in the universe. Hopefully I'll push over the edge soon. So that's me. And see, Marie, wasn't that bad? It wasn't long.
Well, thank you for sharing, Crystal. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, Jay.
You need an employee? I'm here. I used to do event planning, and my background is in that too. So.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear you're back here.
And finance too. So
budgeting
and things. So
I know. Well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm here.
Yeah, let me know if you I know, because I'm with you with the corporate. But you know, I like to eat, as you can see. So that's what that does. But if you all ever need anything, my husband is the vice president of human resources for APH, which is the American Printing House for the blind. They're doing big things. He can help with employment. I can also do the same. I'm in HR as well. And so if you ladies, if anybody out there ever needs anything, please let him know. He's good at what he does. So you let us know too, seriously. But I appreciate that very much. But for anybody who's looking for something or whatever we can ever do to help. But I'm glad to hear that you're back here too. Closer to us.
Right. Okay, James, take away. That was that sister.
Hi, James. I'm sorry. And thank you for putting me on the
line. Love you too, James.
Love you.
You're welcome. Y'all welcome. Look, I love it. I love it.
Jessica, I can't wait to see you too sometimes.
Yes, Jessica, surely. Can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah.
It'll happen. I'm coming out of the shadows slowly.
Most definitely. Come on.
But in closing, we definitely had a great discussion tonight. We appreciate you all coming on, rocking with us tonight. And because of you all rocking with us and supporting us the way that y'all do, we are proud to announce that We'll Talk Monday is officially nominated for a Music Love Award, which will be in August. Woo! And the voting starts on May 15th. May 15th through July 31st. So we need you all to go out there and vote We will be spreading more information about that very soon. Go out there and vote for We'll Talk Monday as podcast of the year. So we are excited about that. And thank you all for rocking with us. Stay tuned to the podcast, which will be dropped on tomorrow at midnight. And as I always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning some things that we're looking at is bad. God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. We will see you all next Monday. Love y'all.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Thank you.
1 affirmations. I am marching into success. I am marching into more than enough. I am marching into my miracles. I expect and I anticipate greater. I receive greater. I have favor. I am favored, and favor follows me, goes before me, and surrounds me. This is your month of March affirmations. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to the Real Talk Monday podcast. Now it's time to hear from the purpose pusher, Andrea Prairie, with your weekly words of affirmation.